This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We want to take a moment now to remember a truly remarkable woman, Maureen Dunn of Randolph, one of the founders of the National League of Families of American Prisoners and Missing in Southeast Asia. She was a relentless advocate for POWs, MIAs, and their families.
Maureen studied to be a hairstylist, but in 1968, her life changed forever when her husband, Lieutenant Joseph Patrick Dunn, was shot down over the South China Sea. The Pentagon was never able to tell her what happened to her husband. And in 1974, bearing the emptiness and pain so familiar to families of missing soldiers, Dunn testified before the U.S. Senate, saying, quote, "Our problem has been Watergated, Agnewed, Richardsoned, energy crisis, and Mideasted practically out of existence." But undeterred, Maureen Dunn continued advocating for families for 45 years. Last Friday, she passed away after a struggle with cancer. She was 72. And we're joined now by her son, Joseph Dunn II. Mr. Dunn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm so very sorry it has to be under these circumstances.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But we're grateful that you could join us to help us remember your mother a little bit. You were just a year old when your father was shot down during the Vietnam War, so a tiny, tiny tot at that time. But can you tell us, what your memories were or what people told you of your mother in those first years after your father was missing?
Well, it's funny. We when someone passes away, there definitely becomes a time when a lot of discussions take place at my mom's house, family and friends, and things you don't really think of, they start coming up. You're recalling different memories, and I think a lot of kids would remember their parents, maybe at a ball game or maybe getting an ice cream cone. Well, for me, it was, running through the halls of Congress or watching her get arrested because she chained herself to the fence at the White House, stuff like that. Those are the things I remember, and the interesting part of it, it wasn't political. It wasn't liberal, conservative. She was there for one reason and one reason only, which was not just my father, but every man that was missing. And she would say that every time, because her whole idea was, it's not going to be me next time, it's going to be you. So you better pay attention to what I'm saying. And so I can recall trips to D.C. before I can remember going to school. I used to be taken out of school many times, probably hurt me in the long run, but I would be taken out of school because my mom thought it was more important for me to learn the lessons that she was trying, the things she was trying to do were bigger lessons than what I was going to learn at school at that time. It wasn't like a week at a time, it would be like 2 days. But she really was so forceful at that point, and I was so young. And I had the good fortune of having lots of aunts and uncles and lots of family friends and lots of cousins who could take care of me. But, in the mainstay of things, my mom wanted me to see what was going on. She never tried to shield me from any of it.
Yeah. Well, if I may ask you, so many people who suffer such a loss, and I mean, it's almost, I don't know how to say this, but it's almost worse because you were never able to find out what happened to your father. There was never anything conclusive to come out of Vietnam.
For me, I had closure in a certain sense because I went to China and I went to the spot where my dad was shot down.
Yeah.
I actually had the opportunity to meet with the two pilots actually shot my father down. So that doesn't happen that often. So I came back from China with a different view than my mom did. Unfortunately, she couldn't go due to her arthritis. And so I went in representation of her. And from my point of view, I think that looking back now, it's been a long time since we went on that trip, I feel like it didn't really help my mom as much as it should have, but yet it did wonders for me because I felt closure and my mom didn't, and I totally understood it because, she's like, well, you went and I didn't. And, I'm still searching for answers. And I'm like, I know, I was there. I sat where things would have happened. And you get some kind of sense of peace. And for me, I kind of moved on a little bit. Whereas my mom, unfortunately, we were talking about this week, is that she became so associated with the issue. It's like they were one and the same.
Right. Where do you think she got the drive, though? Because it's totally understandable for people who suffer, families who suffer this kind of loss, to want to withdraw from activism and just not have anything to do with the system or the government or the society that couldn't give any additional information for their missing, sons and fathers. Where did she get the drive to just plug in?
I think that came from her family base. I really did. She had such respect and love for her mother and how hard her mother worked to get over from Ireland to the United States. And I had the good fortune of taking my mom to Ireland and finding the spot where my grandmother left, and we understood why when we got there. At that time, you know, where they lived, it was a very rough setting. But I think she derived a lot of the strength from that, and I know it's going to sound corny, but if you take everything down and you boil it down to one thing, it was a love story. My mom was crazy about my dad, had never been in love before, fell in love with him, and just couldn't get it out of her mind. And she was that dogged. I mean, I was telling people this week, she would not give up this week. She couldn't eat. She couldn't talk. She couldn't basically move at some points. And she only had two more radiation treatments and one more chemo treatment. And she would not give up. She was unbelievable. And I'm like, that determination, I don't know if I have it inside me. You know, I look at it and I'm like, how to be that determined, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think everyone has it. And it's not, if you don't, it's okay. But she looked at the cause and the situation with my dad and was like, no, that's not right. And then if you look at her career as it followed through, ending up with the Achilles Project, she just didn't believe it was right that they didn't get numbers to run the marathon.
And this is the Achilles International, a project that brings disabled runners, including
right.
Veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan,
right. And one
of them
reached out, one of the members of the Achilles Project reached out to my mother because they wanted to run the Boston Marathon, and originally they did receive numbers. It was only 25. And the amputee, and then there was an issue with the wheelchair, so they took them away and said, you don't have the numbers. And someone contacted my mother, and she was just like, that's not right. You can't do that. And so then she started making phone calls, and, you know, at that point, Lou Gorman was still associated with the Red Sox and had a lot of clout. And he got Larry Lucchino involved, and then there was a lot of support there. And then the Mayor Menino was incredible with what he did. And then business owners like Joe Milano and Don Ogden from the Yankee Bus Lines, they came in. They just showed up. My mom got them all together, and it's now an amazing event. The owners give the box to all the amputees that day to watch it. They throw out the first pitch. They bring my mom out in the field, and it's fantastic what they did. And she made this year. It was the last thing she did, pretty much. She was, you know, she struggled to get to a Bruins game where they dedicated a seat that Joe Detremont worked on for a POWMIA that's always going to be there. She made it through that night, barely. We got her through, and then that Sunday, we went to the Red Sox game. She was on the field, and then from that point on, you could see the slow decline because she manned up, you know, she toughened up just to get to that point because she thought it was important. And those kids, they're 25 years old. They come back from Afghanistan, and they're missing both their legs. And, you know, and what do? They're trying to be, you know, they're still trying to be athletes.
Yeah.
They're still trying to be an important part of society in every way that they can. And my mother saw that. She just got it. She just understood. And those guys loved her. They were all, like, she was their drill sergeant. They loved her.
Mr. Dunn, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to remind listeners, and I'm speaking to Joseph Dunn II. His mother, Maureen Dunn, was a tireless advocate for POWs, MIAs, and their families. She was of Randolph and one of the co-founders of the National League of Families of American Prisoners and Missing in Southeast Asia. She passed away last week at the age of 72. Mr. Dunn, I just wanted to ask you briefly, you know, over time, especially through, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s, as relations between Vietnam and the United States normalized, you know, and we saw a lot of trips from, you know, prominent politicians even who had served in the Vietnam War going over there in terms of political trips, but also on behalf of families of soldiers who were still missing. What did your mom make of that? Because your father's remains were never found.
Right, and you know, she could look at it a little bit. She kind of muffled herself a little bit, which is pretty much hard to do with my mom. But she realized, you know, my dad's case was such an odd case. There was so much involved, and it was a national incident because technically it was China. It wasn't Vietnam because he got blown up, and my dad got blown off in a storm. And so she realized that she wasn't representing, you know, she needed to make sure she was representing herself at that point and let the Vietnam, the people that have been missing in Vietnam talk a little bit more. But when it came down to the core visits, say Senator McCain and Senator Kerry, she was incredibly involved in that because her biggest fear was once we normalize relations, why would there be any motivation to recover the remains and or tell us what happened? Because you got to remember, part of the most important part of this whole story with my mother and all the families that have people missing is the unknown. It is something that will eat away at you your whole life when you don't know, and any facet of life. And so for me, I saw that as a driving force for my mom, and when the normalized relations were coming around, I think there was a concern, like, why give them all the cake right now? Then they're not going to give us anything back at the end of the birthday. You know? And they were right in a lot of ways because there was such a desire to get normalized with Vietnam so Nike could move in or whoever and start manufacturing products and underscoring what we do in the United States with manufacturing.
Well, let me ask you one final question. What do you think, or what do you see as your mother's most lasting legacy in the 45 years of work that she did on behalf of POWs and MIAs?
I would say, on behalf of the families, that I hope it would come down to one thing, which would be a veteran from Afghanistan or Iraq knocking at my mom's door saying, thank you for the things that you did during the Vietnam War so that it doesn't happen to me. And we've had that happen. And that is, I think, for my mom, the most satisfying part of the whole situation, to have someone do that and to know that the decisions you made help people.
Yeah. Well, Joseph Dunn II is the son of Maureen Dunn, who was the co-founder of the National League of Families of American Prisoners and Missing in Southeast Asia. Maureen Dunn is of Randolph, and she passed away last week at the age of 72 after a battle with cancer. Joseph Dunn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And I should say that a funeral mass will be celebrated in honor of Maureen Dunn in Randolph on Wednesday afternoon.
And stay with us. Still to come on the program, flour, butter, eggs, and pastry chef Joanne Chang. She joins us to demystify baking basics. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.